Well, there are the obvious things that cause fear in our lives, like spiders and scorpions, snakes, and then there's the IRS. I know many of us have fear of things like heights or getting on airplanes or annual reviews. Anybody just get their heart pumping a little bit hearing that? Do you remember watching the TV show or seeing the commercials or can imagine the show Fear Factor, where they would bring people in to face their worst fears? It seems like as a race of people, as human beings, we have a fascination with fear and also people facing their fears. So there's a lot of fears that are present in life. Most people say that they would rather be the subject of a funeral than speak at one. I don't have the fear of public speaking, but I'm desperately afraid of scary movies. During the lead up to Halloween, I can barely make it through 10 minutes of TV before I have to close my eyes or leave the room. I really would be happy, and it would be a wonderful Christmas present if Stephen King never had another one of his books made into a movie. Because fear is a powerful experience, and everybody has some fears in their lives. There isn't anybody, I would hazard a guess, who has no fear in their lives. So why is it that there is so much fear in our world and in our lives, and seemingly at times so little hope? Why is it that we find ourselves entrenched in our fears more than we are in experiencing or hoping for a better future? And I can't say that I have an answer to that question, but I can say that there is a good news for us in all of this, that there is a chance in our lives to have less fear and more hope. That God wants us to have lives that have more hope than fear. And God has made it possible for us to have lives filled with hope and not filled with fear. Now, as we progress through the different stages of life, there are different things that become more hopeful in our lives and become less fearful in our lives as well. But the reality is that there is just many times in life where we have moments of fear that seem to outweigh the hope, and we need to make sense of that in our lives. There's plenty of fear in this life that we have and not enough hope. And I'm guessing that if you're here tonight, you want more hope in your life than fear. You want more hope to guide you in your daily lives. I want more hope in my life than fear, because when there's more hope in our lives, we believe that the future is bright. When we have more hope in our lives and less fear, we know that God is at work in our lives. And the beautiful thing about the way God loves us is that God has brought hope into our lives and brought hope into this world in a way that allows us to cast out all fears in our hearts. Not to say that all fears disappear, but it allows us to move through life not with fear at the forefront of our hearts, but hope as the forefront of our hearts. And God did this when God sent Jesus to be a part of our lives. God did this when God sent hope to be in the world through the birth of Jesus Christ. God sent hope into the world so that the fears that we have would no longer have a stranglehold on our hearts, but rather would guide us with hope into the future. And that's what happened on that beautiful holy night when Jesus came into this world. God brought hope into the world in a way that transformed the present at that time and the future that we now live in. The reality of what God did is immense. The reality of how God loves us is just stunning. And what God did that night would have been instrumental to the people and monumental to the people that experienced it, but especially so for those shepherds that found themselves in the fields that night. Now, Mary and her sister Elizabeth had been visited by angels, and I don't want to dive into that whole journey for the moment that we have, but let's just say that they were on the way to understanding what was about to happen. Mary understood to some degree or in full part that she was bearing the Messiah, that the Messiah had come to do something that they had been waiting for, something that the people of Israel had been waiting for a very long time. I think sometimes what's lost on us is that there's a period of waiting that they went through, 300 or 400 years, where the people of Israel, the Jews at that time, thought that God had abandoned them, thought that they had been conquered by the Romans, and that was a sign that God had abandoned them. They had been conquered by the Romans and thought that that was never going to end, and so they had less and less hope that God was with them and more fear and concern that God had abandoned them. And so Mary knew that there was finally hope in the world again. Mary knew that there was a chance that there was going to be a bright future for Israel, and as she would find out, it would be a bright future for all people. And so when God worked in that moment, and when God, according to Luke 2, spoke to those shepherds, there was a message delivered to those shepherds by a beautiful chorus of angels that was a message of hope, a message that fear would not win anymore, a message that would have struck the shepherds as being powerful and one, as we hear, that couldn't keep to themselves. Now, at first, it was just one angel that apparently showed up and spoke to the shepherds that night, and one angel showing up and speaking to you would probably be enough. It would hopefully be enough for me, although I'm a man, and so sometimes we need more than one voice speaking to us. Just ask my wife. So the reality is that they heard from this first angel that God had been on the move again, that glory was coming down to earth, and that God was bringing about the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Christ the Lord. And in that moment, the shepherds would have known what Mary knew leading up to that point, but they would have heard that the hope they needed was coming into the world, that the persecution that they were experiencing from the Roman Empire they thought was going to end, and that God was at work in the world once again and was going to bring them liberation and salvation. When they heard Messiah and when they heard Christ the Lord, they would have heard that there is hope for a bright future once again. And if one angel, like I said, wasn't enough, then apparently a whole host of them showed up and reinforced for the shepherds this great message of hope, and it shared with them how they were going to find out if this was actually happening. And they said that they would find the Messiah wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, lying in a feeding trough. And so they said, we better go check this out. And so they made their way to Bethlehem. It doesn't say in the text how they found Mary and Joseph amongst the people that were there, but it says they found their way and they spoke to Mary. They saw Joseph and they experienced the birth of the Messiah. Now I have to imagine that when they got there, they wanted to compare notes with Mary, because it says in the text that they shared with her what they had heard. And I can't imagine that Mary could have kept to herself what she had known. And so when Mary uttered, most likely with them, the message of hope that she had given birth to the Messiah, and when the shepherds came together and said to them that they too had been given the good news, that hope had come into the world, it would have been an amazing moment knowing that they had experienced the point on which history would turn, knowing that they had experienced for themselves God coming into the world to bring about hope. It says in the text that the shepherds would then go on to then share with anybody who would listen the good news of what had just happened, and that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Now, the beautiful thing about that very moment, the beautiful thing for what was true for the shepherds and for Mary and for Joseph then is still true for us today, that what God did in that very moment was to bring hope into this world. What God did in that very moment was to say to us and to all people at all times that hope was going to win the day. The fear no longer had to hold hearts, that hope was there for all. And that same hope that was there for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and all who would follow is here for us today as well. The hope that God gives to us is a hope that there is a beautiful future for us. The hope that God gives to us is that this world is loved by God and that God is in this world and bringing about good things for this world. This hope we have in Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing that God gives to us, and that's what we celebrate on Christmas. That's what we celebrate anytime people gather in God's name, is that God is with us and that God is for us. And in this Christmas season, and in any day that we might have, the hope that God gives to us can come to us in many forms. The hope that God gives to us can speak to us in the very moment that we find ourselves in. And there are some very important moments of life that God's hope can speak clearly and definitively to us. Now, one of the things that I think this word of hope that God gives to us, that God did not abandon the world, is a reminder and a promise that God loves us, straight loves us. That God has not abandoned the world, that God is with us and for us, and that God is doing a great thing amongst us to make sure that we understand that God is here, that God is amongst us and doing great things is a gift from God. If God didn't care about the world, God might have abandoned the world, but we can see in Jesus that God did not abandon us, but rather God came to us to say that we matter to God and that all people matter to God. It's a beautiful thing about hope is it reminds us that God is with us and that God is present in our lives. Another great thing that hope does for us, this hope that God gives to us, is that God brings hope not only into this life, but in the life to come. In the Christmas season, it is very difficult for many people to make through this time because they think of the loved ones that are no longer with them. They find themselves wondering if there is a hope for the future of the loved ones that have gone before them. One of the great things that God gives to us in this message of hope is that God defeated not only fear, but God defeated death as well. And in this message that God gives to us, this word of hope, we get a promise that God is going to be with all those who have gone before us. And we can cling to that hope as well, that in Jesus, God defeated death. And even the fear that comes from death, that death does not have the final say, is a hope we can cling to. And the last thing that God's hope does for us is it gives us a promise of a better future for each one of us. It gives us a promise for a better future and a God-filled future and a God-blessed future because God cares about each one of us. I think at times it is easy for me to think about God loving the whole world on some level, but then it's hard for me to remember that God loves me. God loves each one of us. God loves you. God loves you for who you are and who you are becoming. And that is a great gift of hope because God does not expect us to arrive fully formed. God expected us to need God's help to become who God wants us to be. So just as God did not abandon the world, God did not abandon us either. God came into the world through Jesus as a sign of hope that God loves us each individually and wants a beautiful, bright future for us as well. So whether it's a reminder that God has not abandoned the world, whether it's a reminder that God is with those who have gone before us and has blessed the life beyond, or whether it's a reminder that God loves us each individually, there is a word of hope for all of us at this Christmas time. And may we remember just how much God loved us to bring about this hope for us. May we remember at Christmas that God is the giver of hope now and always. Amen.